It's great to be here, great to celebrate Canada Day. And I think it's so fitting that we would continue our series on Made for Mission on Canada Day when we actually get to serve our community. Canada Day is not for us. VBS is not for us. So we're going to continue in our series on Made for Mission. Just to go over what we've been speaking about over the last month or so, part one, Mark preached on Made for Mission, laid a foundation for us. And one of his key points was mission was not made for the church, but the church for mission. And part two continued on all hands on deck. And it was a call for all of us to be on mission. Slap your neighbor or touch your neighbor because, but touch your neighbor and say, hey, all hands on deck, all hands on deck. Then we continue with part three, anointed, armed, and dangerous, that we are all anointed. How many of us believe that? That we are all anointed. My anointing is not different than your anointing. We have the same anointing. Okay. Well, we have the same anointing. And then Bridget continued with God saves sinners to save sinners. Say that 10 times fast. But really, God saves us. And through us, he will save others. Isn't that the gospel just simple? And like I always say, the gospel is simple, but we make it complicated. And then Carmichael last week spoke on mobilization for multiplication. Say that one 10 times fast. But really his point was we imitate Jesus. We recalibrate our thinking. We have to think differently when it comes to mission. We have to be motivated to why and how to propagate the gospel. And really, at the end of the day, we just need to follow Jesus. Simple, right? And so today I felt to call part six, limited by location. If you have your Bibles, your devices, whatever you have that has that you can get the Word of God from, turn to Matthew 28, 19 to 20. And please don't be quiet this morning, for sure. Actually, today, if you're new with us, I like to kind of have fun when we read, before we read, and usually I come up with creative ways to acknowledge that we've got to our scripture. And today, we used to go full show, but today I want to just say, show thing. No, not sure thing, show thing. Show thing, we did, right? So Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're made for mission. Now turn to your other neighbor and ask them to forgive you for making them number two. And turn to your other neighbor and say, you're made for mission. So I have a question for us. Do you know when God listens to the world, he hears something different than we do? He listens to the longing, the cries, the hunger in the hearts of the people of this world. He hears the prayers that we don't even know people in this world are even praying. So the question for us is, do we hear the cries of the wounded? The frustrated, the desperate. And at the end of the day, what is the church really hearing when they listen to the world? How do we see the world? Are they part of our community? Or are they only part of our community when they repent? See, the whole intention of the Father was to send Jesus into the world to have a whole world reconciled back to God. That was the whole reason. And you see, the church is a people that have been redeemed because of the love and grace of the Father. And every time we get together, it's an opportunity to practice love and grace with each other so that we can offer it perfectly to the world. We don't have the scripture up here, but Romans 2:4 says it's the goodness and the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. It's not about my eloquent speech. It's not about if I use Hebrew or Greek. It's all about the goodness and the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. John 17, 19 in the Message says, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. I think it's pretty clear that he has given us a mission in this world. Matthew 5, 13 says, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, your light shine. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So the question is, how is our saltiness today? Are we salty today? I mean, if you're anything like me and you love grilling, I mean, one of the most important things is to add some salt, right? To your grill, veggies or steaks or whatever it is, because otherwise it just tastes bland. I get it, though. If you have health issues, you have to stay away from the salt. I get that. But really, how are we doing? And it's really a pulse check of how we're doing. Because you see, God has given us a mission and we have a job to do. And nothing on earth is actually more important than completing this mission. Acts 20:24, this is what Paul said. But I do not count my life of any value nor as precious to myself, for only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. In other words, he finds no value in this life unless the mission that God has given him is completed. That was the heart of Paul. Everything is of no value if I cannot complete this mission, this calling that God has given me. For some of us, we need to understand that we have been purposely positioned in our location. I'll say that again. You've been purposely positioned in your location. And for some of us, we can't get confused by our calling and our career. You guys are very quiet. At least give me a, you know, thank you. See, we have doctors, we have educators, we have people in sales, we have marketers, we have nurses. Even if you collect garbage, it doesn't matter what it is. Because here's the thing is, your career is your disguise for your calling. Your career is your disguise. And some of us, let's just take superheroes. And I was going to wear my Superman socks today, but it's hot. But who likes superheroes? And so superheroes had careers. Right? They had careers, but they were all disguises for their calling. And I know a lot of us are into superheroes right now, so I'll just break it down for us. So Batman, aka Bruce Wayne, he was a business executive. Iron Man, aka Tony Stark, he was a CEO. Superman, aka Clark Kent, he was a news reporter. Spider-Man, aka Peter Parker, he was a photographer. The Hulk, aka Bruce Banner, he was a... See, you guys are like... It should have been a call and response, you know? And Wonder Woman, aka Diana Prince, was a nurse. Oh, yeah, she was. Yeah, she was a nurse. Yeah. What's my point? The thing about all superheroes is that they all have a form of kryptonite. The thing about superheroes, because I know some of us missed it, is that they all have a form of kryptonite. What was kryptonite? It was a sign of weakness. Superman, that was his thing. Kryptonite was his form of weakness. And so all of superheroes had a form of weakness. And can I suggest to us that as a church, not as the bridge, but in general, we have a kryptonite called distraction. We've become distracted. Distracted with what? I'm sure there's many things, but can I suggest one thing? That we've all become distracted with me. Can I go to my first statement? It says, we are made for mission, not for mission. And you see, we've made our mission about my ministry, my skills, my wants, and our mission has always been about those that don't know Christ. And we've turned it into me. Instead of a selfless gospel, we've made it a selfish gospel. Because distraction is the easiest deterrent from fulfilling our mission. It's the easiest thing. Because distraction is all around us. And all we have to do is take our eyes off of Jesus to that movie. And we're all, right away, we're distracted. Now, that's not a bad thing. But if it is a distraction, it is. So, church, we need to get our focus back on the mission. Turn to your neighbor and say, get your focus back. See, we have to let the world know of the greatest love story in history that has ever been written. It's a story of God encountering his people and his people encountering him. It's about different ethnic groups, religious groups, backgrounds, families, cities, communities, nations, encountering the goodness and the kindness and the love of Christ. That is the beauty of the gospel. A loving God reconciling the world back to himself. Colossians 1, 15 to 23, we'll read it together. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. God has given us a ministry of reconciliation. And so, do we know that God has reconciled everything to himself? He has, right? There you go. Reconciliation has already taken place. It doesn't mean everyone is a Christian. What it does mean is that the way has been cleared to everyone to respond to Jesus Christ. You see, from God's perspective, there are no obstacles. He has nothing against anybody The way is open. His heart is open. And what he now needs from his church is to announce in Pickering, announce in your workplace, announce in the malls, announce to your neighbors, announce to your extended family. Be reconciled. A way has been opened for you. You see, it's all about, hey, I don't know what you think about God, but here's what he thinks about you. Because really, we care what they think about God, but it's really what he thinks about them. And our job is to give the world a taste of his goodness. And isn't that what the scripture says? When it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Which brings me to my second point here. It says that Jesus came to put a face on God, but we are here to put a face on Jesus. Jesus came to put a face on God. We are here to put a face on Jesus. See, our mission is to represent Christ in the earth. Isn't that what the mission is? We are not here to complain or judge the world. We are here just as a visual aid to the earth of what heaven looks like. That's all we're here. Just to show people, hey, this is what heaven looks like. To create the same atmosphere on earth as it is in heaven. 1 John 4:17, it's not up here, it says, as he is, so are we also in this world. As he is, so are we also in this world. And so do you think that Jesus was judged enough? It's not a trick question. Do you think Jesus was judged enough? Do you think he was punished enough in the context of the cross? Do you think that all wrath and anger was poured out on him? So does he have any left then? Does God have any left then? No. So then why do we feel like God's angry with us or judging us? Or judging those around us. You see, church, we have to be confident that all wrath, anger, judgment, and punishment has already been dealt with. So there's nothing left for him to pour out. And all he has is his love and his grace and his mercy and his faithfulness and his joy and his peace. And I can go on and on. So we're not here to pronounce judgment to anybody. We're not here to condemn anyone. The ministry of reconciliation is all about grace. It's all about grace. Can I get an amen for that one at least? Thank you. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So how can we reconcile this world back to the Father when we've limited ourselves to our location? What do I mean? We've limited ourselves to our location. And not just a physical location, but the location in our minds, the location in our hearts, the location in with our emotions. We've limited ourselves to our location. Because God never told the world to go to the church. But he did tell the church to go to the world. See, we've been commissioned beyond some building. Listen, the heart of the elders is this, is that we've been commissioned beyond some building. That Jesus did not give us a commission to fill some building, but he's commissioned us to fill the earth, to touch lives, to impact people. That's what it's about, church. Let's get our focus back. See, we think we come to church to perfect love, to perfect grace, to perfect mercy, to perfect forgiveness. And in my urban way, I say you got it all twisted. Thank you for laughing at that one. You got it twisted. Because when we come together, it's actually our opportunity to practice love, to practice grace, to practice forgiveness, to practice mercy, so we can perfect it when we go into the world. You see, it's like when the musos come here and we practice on Monday nights and we come here on a Sunday morning just to go over some stuff to make sure everything is, we're still on track. Because when it comes to the service, we want it to be done in excellence. We want to perfect it. It's the same way when you have sports teams. They practice during the week so that when it's time for game time, there's no excuses. There's no excuses. But we want to run a perfect game plan. You with me? So when we come to church, we practice because the real game is outside these walls. See, we've been reconciled and God has now called us to be ambassadors of reconciliation. And so 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 20, and we'll read this passage. It says, "For the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us." Imagine he's making his appeal through us. "We implore you." Man, this is strong language. "We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." So we see that we, the church, are a redeemed community living in a reconciled society. And we have now been appointed as ambassadors of reconciliation. We're redeemed people living in a reconciled community or society, sorry. So what is an ambassador? I want to have fun with this. So an ambassador is actually an appointed political leader by the government to go into a foreign land and represent their country there, right? And so, as an ambassador, they have a mission. And the mission is the only thing that matters for them. They've been sent on behalf of their government to go to a specific country, and that is the mission. The ambassador is not there as a tourist. The ambassador is not there to check out the scenery. The ambassador is not there on vacation. The ambassador has a mission. And you see, we have been sent by the government of God to go into all the world and tell everyone that they can come back into citizenship with God. How many people here have immigrated to Canada? A lot of us. My mother has too. And so when we need to get a visa to enter another country, we don't go to the Canadian embassy. You go to the embassy of the country you would like to enter. Isn't that right? So if we want to go to heaven, then we have to find the ambassador that was sent from heaven, and he will provide us with the visa. See, everyone on earth is a citizen of heaven, but they lost their immigration status. You with me? Their visa was canceled in Genesis. And even though they were former citizens, they now have to reapply and go back to the embassy and receive their visa. Here, I'll do this to help us understand in our context in Canada. So we have, and please, it doesn't mean anything. Keep your political views to yourself. We have the father. That's the prime minister, Justin Trudeau. We have Jesus. He is the minister of foreign affairs. And our minister of foreign affairs, her name is Chrystia Freeland. So Chrystia Freeland, she is the chief ambassador. She's the boss for all the other ambassadors that are in each country's that are in each country representing Canada. Her job is to train. Her job is to teach, to provide meals, a car, whatever it is that the ambassadors need in those respective countries. She has to make sure they're well taken care of. See, Jesus is our chief ambassador. The minister of foreign affairs has appointed us as ambassadors. So when we need a visa, guess what? We don't have to go see Justin Trudeau. We don't have to go see Chrystia Freeland. All we have to do is go to the embassy, and that person that helps you out has the same authority as Chrystia Freeland. You with me? See, part of the role of the chief ambassador is to promote Canada wherever he or she goes, and to invite people to visit their country. They're supposed to say, hey, Canada's wonderful. Hey, heaven is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Our mission as ambassadors is to promote Jesus wherever we go. In our schools, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, wherever we go, we are to promote Jesus. The Great Commission is what we are actually called to do. It's what we are called to do. So we actually have a part to play in all this. Listen, at the end of the day, if I do my part, you do your part. Don't you think that we'll see heaven populated and hell plundered? Don't you think? And if I'm the only one, that's fine. My third big statement is this. Don't miss the moment when you're on mission. Don't miss the moment when you're on mission. And I have two stories that I want to tell you. So the Saturday before Father's Day, I had the opportunity and the privilege to our sister-in-law's dad, he passed away. And they asked me if I would facilitate the funeral. The very chairs that you're sitting on right now, they were sitting in. And I was telling Mark after, because he asked me, how did it go? And I said, Mark, I don't think Trish and I have ever been in a funeral, in a wedding, or whatever it is. And maybe you have, but for us, it was new. Where we were the only people that knew who Jesus was. Can you imagine that? And so I had the opportunity, because I was like, Mark, what do I talk about? And like, how do I do this? My first time doing a funeral, and nobody knows Jesus. So what do you think that opportunity was? To speak Jesus. And so the very seats that you're sitting on, I had the opportunity to tell everyone who Jesus was. And fortunately and unfortunately, I'll never probably know the seeds that were planted that day. But there was a seed. For sure. There, you can say for sure there. Sure thing, yeah. But I had a moment. I had a moment. And let me tell you, I could have easily not shared Jesus with them. I could have put forth a nice, pretty little story. Or I could have given them a gospel that is offensive. Man. You guys have to work with me here. Second thing I want to share. We take the past few years. We take the youth out for grad and for end of year, and we have a big dinner. We go somewhere, and we have a great time eating food. And the great thing about this is that I don't even think they know. So this is going to be a good one. I think only Trish knows about this. And so we're there. We're about 15 of us. Thank you, Joe. And we're there at the table, and we're having a good time. And it comes time to pay the bill. Or sorry, before that, I said, man, you really have our waitress comes over, and she says, wow, you guys are a big table. I said, yeah, you know. Hopefully that's okay. She's like, no, that's great. You know, I've been serving big tables all day. And you're my last table, right? Cause I have to go to Quebec. And I said, oh, you know, I said, hey, Quebec, that's great. You know, I said, don't worry, you know, hopefully this table, you know, we do a good job for you. Right. And she's like, yeah, you know, it's going to be fun. And she takes the orders and everything. We have a great meal. At the end of the meal now, go to pay the bill. I said, hey, you know what? Her name's Louise. I said, Louise, have a great time in Quebec. And how many of you know when you're walking on mission, sometimes it's not even intentional, but God has orchestrated things for you. And there was a moment there where all of a sudden Louise starts to pour out her heart of why she's going to Quebec. She said it's messy, and you know, there's problems with her ex-husband and the kids, and she just went on this whole story. Listen, I didn't ask her, but something that she saw said, and actually just even prior to her pouring out her heart, she goes to me, she said, wow, I don't know how you did this, but you had 15 teenagers sitting at your table. And they're just all so well-behaved. Give yourself a round of applause, youth. And she said, I don't know how you did this. I don't know, because I've served 5 tables today, and they're all crazy. But for some reason, your table, you don't miss this, your table, calm, polite, and it was a pleasure to serve them. You guys can't miss this. And so we go to the store, and she'd start to pour out her story to me. And everything inside of me was like, let me pray for you. Let me just share you good. Let me just share how wonderful. And I think in any other kind of situation, I think I would have. But I just felt God saying, no. No. You don't have to do that. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I need to share Jesus. I need to pray for you. Let me, you know, tell you of who he is. And he said, no, don't do that. And I couldn't imagine why. And then we finished talking, and she tells me her story. And I don't even know, it was like perfectly synchronized, Joe. They all the youth, they stood up and they clapped and they were like, thank you, Louise. Thank you, Louise. You have to understand, I didn't have to speak Jesus. She saw Jesus. She saw Jesus. It's simple as that, church. It's as simple as that. So I want to end with this. The mission is mandatory. The mission has a message. The mission should leave a mark. The mission is our motivation. The mission is our mandate. But most of all, church, the mission requires for us to move. The mission requires us to leave this limited location that we've built and to go. It's all about going. And so we, the church, we have to move. We can't limit ourselves to our location. Like I said, we have a mission to complete. We have a God to serve. We have a gospel to preach. We have broken hearts to encourage. We have hurting people that need to be healed. We have to deliver hope to a hopeless world. And the world needs to know there is a God that loves them. But church, the world needs to know now. Now. The Bible says now is the time of salvation. It's now. It's not someday. If I get around to it, it's now.